Yeah, it did turn itself off. There you go.
Turned itself off. It don't want to hear.
Stop. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to be back tonight in the house of the Lord. And appreciate each one of you that's come to be with us tonight in this service tonight. We appreciate those that have come up from down home with us the last couple of nights and tonight. And we've enjoyed the trip and enjoyed fellowship coming up and going back. Enjoyed the services while we were here. And so it's been a blessing to us also. And I'm just thankful to be able to, as Brother Eddie said, to know that I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I like that song that says, "There is a place somewhere below I heard and read about. They say that people, when they go, they'll never come back out. It's a place of torment for lost souls who turn the Lord away. They say the fire burns all night because there is no day. But I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that fire go. No, you don't have to worry. The Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Eternal life was given me when I was born again. The Lord applied His precious blood and took away my sin. He started a flame that satisfied my hungry soul's desire. And that tiny flame that's burning still will keep me from the fire. For I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into the fire go. No, you don't have to worry. The Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. The Bible says in Mark 15 tonight, verse 16. Mark 15, verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses tonight. I'd like to read a few verses tonight. As I said one place, I'd like to read a few verses and preach for about 20 minutes and then just let them shout it out. And I thought I heard someone say, if you preach 20 minutes, I would shout it out. But I'd always wanted to preach about 20, 30 minutes, but I never had much luck at it. I've always been kind of long-winded. But I guess we need it. Amen. We need long preaching because most of us need to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Mark chapter 15, verse number 16, the Bible said, "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. They gave him to drink wine mingled with mirth, but he received it not." Verse 24 is a text verse tonight. "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take." Let's pray. Father, we just come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, that we have this side of eternity. Lord, to stand behind the pulpit with a Bible on it and try to preach the Word of God. Father, we've tried to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit tonight as to what He would have us to preach on this last night of revival meeting for us. And Lord, we just thank You tonight for what You've already done this week. And Lord, for Brother Willard and the messages he's preached. And we've heard people talk about that they received help in the early parts of the meeting from the Word of God that was preached. And we thank You, Lord, for the couple nights that we've got to be here. And Lord, for the presence of God that's been very real, Lord, the last two nights. And we pray that, Lord, through mercy, that You'll be real again tonight. We don't deserve anything, Lord, but we sure ask that You'll, in grace and mercy, show up. And Lord, anoint us and help us to preach the Word of God. Lord, most of the people in this room tonight is saved, and maybe all. There may be some here tonight that's lost. The Lord knows the hearts. But I pray that, Lord, that You'll have something tonight that will speak to the saved and help them and encourage them and remind them and challenge them. And You'll have something tonight to speak to the lost that might convict them, convince them that they need to be saved before it's everlastingly too late. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for the ever-present cleansing in the blood for me. And I thank You, Lord, that soon You'll be coming for us. Now, Lord, we ask that You, again, bless the Word of God tonight. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I guess as we look at this Scripture tonight, and it's obvious tonight that all of this Scripture, of course, is taking place upon Calvary. And we want to look here tonight, and we want to look at some things here that in these verses, especially verse 24, where the Bible said, when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, and they casting lots upon them, whatever man should take. And I want to look here tonight about Calvary and this place called Calvary, first of all. And we see here from reading the verses tonight, we see that Calvary was a place where a crime was committed. All these shows on television that's on now, Crime Stoppers and all these murder mystery shows and all these things, if they were to examine the evidence at Calvary, they would see that a crime was committed. From people's side, a crime was committed. We know it pleased God to bruise Him. But we know the Bible says that an innocent man was crucified and died for a crime that he wasn't guilty of. And a crime was committed upon top of Calvary. As we read tonight, we see that there's a crowd there at Calvary. We don't know how many. Probably a lot of people are there upon the top of Calvary. We don't know exactly the number, but it would be a large number that's gathered there at Calvary, and all they're doing is they're just sitting there, and the Bible says sitting down there, they watched Him. They're sitting there, and they're watching the Lord as He has been crucified. So Calvary's a place of a crime. Calvary's a place where there's a crowd gathered. And Calvary's a place of cruelty. Because the Bible said there they crucified Him. You see, to be crucified in Bible days would be equal today to somebody committing a murder or some great crime, and to be sentenced to die by lethal injection or by the electric chair, to be died that way, it would be a shameful thing for man to be crucified. That's why the Bible said in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? But the Bible said that He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And the Bible said He became obedient unto death. And then it said even the death of the cross. And so the cross was a cruel death for anyone to die. But it was a cruel death indeed for an innocent man to die. Shameful death. That's why the Bible said that He endured the cross, but He despised the shame, the Bible said. Now we know that it pleased God to bruise him. We know that on the Godward side, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. On heaven's side, they didn't take his life. He laid it down on heaven's side. But we look here tonight, and the Bible says on heaven's side, he didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to die. He could have called for 10,000 legions of angels, and they would have had to come and take him back. But thank God, he went through what he did on Calvary's cruel cross, that you and I might be saved tonight. But while he's hanging there on the cross, the Bible said that they took his clothes off of him, and they stripped him, they parted his garments, and then he had this one seamless robe, and rather to part it, they cast lots to see who would get the seamless robe. So when they come down that day from the cross, when they come down from Calvary, after they took his limp body down, after Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus have come and begged the body of Jesus, after they have took his limp body down, and after people have left, nothing's left on Calvary, the night has come, everybody's left. But can I tell you that verse 15 says, or verse 24 says, whatever it man should take. In other words, that everybody that was up there on Calvary, they took something with them that day when they left. I don't have time to time this afternoon. I neither could have, because I wouldn't know what that every person took from Calvary that day. But I'm going to tell you this. If you go to Calvary, you ought to take something from there. Amen. I want to just pull out of that crowd. I just want to pull out of that crowd about five people that was there at Calvary. And I want to tell you what they took that day from Calvary's hill. The first one I want to look at tonight is found in John 19 and verse 25. The Bible says there that Jesus has already been on the cross. And the Bible says there in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. The Bible said there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Of course, we know that his mother was Mary. And the Bible said that his mother is standing there by the cross. We cannot imagine what was going through the mind of this precious mother. I know we're not supposed to worship Mary. And I know that Mary was a sinner just like we are sinners. I know that we're not to pray to Mary. We're to pray to Mary's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we understand, and I believe with all my heart, that Mary was a godly woman, that Mary was a good woman, because when God was going to pick a mother for his son, I believe that he picked out the best one he could find. The Bible said in Isaiah 7 and 14, the Lord himself shall give a sign, and a virgin shall conceive. Can I tell you that this mother of Jesus, she was pure. This mother of Jesus, I believe that she was a good woman there. I believe she's a good mother. She raised her son and done what she could for her son. But when we look here and we see her standing by the cross, and her son looks down, he's dying. He's going through pain. He's been through 6 hours of suffering hell for you and me. You know, we can't explain it, Brother Willard, but somehow or another, in 6 hours, Jesus suffered an eternity of hell up on the cross. You say, how could that be? I don't know how it is, but I know it's true. I know he suffered upon the cross. But what I'm saying is, he's going through all of that suffering there on the cross. And he looks down and his mind is upon his mother there. They have a song that said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I heard a preacher say that's pretty bad for someone to be so proud to think that when Christ was dying on the cross, that he was thinking about them. Well, I disagree with that preacher, because the Bible said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I want you to understand that he's on the cross because of sinners. I believe he looked down through the scope of time, and I believe that he saw all of us. And I believe he died and took our sin there upon Calvary's hill that we might be saved tonight. So he's there on the cross. But what he's thinking there, he's thinking about his mother. And he looks down there and he says to her, he says, "Mother," he said, "behold thy son." In other words, I believe that Mary left that day, and I believe that Mary knew Jesus loved her. I believe that Jesus was that kind of a son that his mother knew that he loved her. But can I tell you, it's always good to be reassured. That's why that moms like their kids to tell them, "I love you." That's why that we're supposed to tell each other, you know, "I love you." It's because that's reassurance. Can I tell you that Mary left Calvary that day, and she had a reassurance that God so loved her, amen, that her son loved her. I'll tell you, when you go to Calvary, you ought to understand tonight, if you don't think God loves you tonight, just go to Calvary. Just go to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and just read the gospel accounts of the crucifixion and what he went through, and how in the world could anybody say he doesn't love me that's ever been to Calvary. I tell you, when I got saved, it wasn't the fear of hell, though I feared hell. But when I got saved, it wasn't hell that drew me to him, but it was the love. When I heard about how much he loved me, and that he was willing to die in my place, and such love has never been known. I tell you, it's the love. I think about a story that Brother Bob McCurry told, and I've never forgot it, but he told about a man, and he said he had some children, and this one girl, she tried to commit suicide, and he said they went down, the preacher got called, and he went down there to the ER room, and he went down there, and they took him back there to where the young girl was, and there she was, and she had overdosed, tried to take her life, and the preacher sat down and began to talk to this young girl that he had knew for a while. And he said, "Honey," he said, "why would you do something like this?" She said, "Don't nobody love me." He said, "Well, honey," he said, "I know your mom and daddy." And he said, "I know they love you." She sat there and said, "They never did show it." He said, "Well, honey," he said, "you got sisters." And he said, "I know they love you." And he said, "They never did show it." And he said, "Well, honey, surely you got some friends. And surely they love you." And she said, "They never did show it." And he sat there and he said, "Didn't know what to say." And he said, "Well, honey, I love you." And he said, that girl looked at him and said, "Well, you never did show it." And the preacher was at a loss of a word. He didn't know what to say. And he sat there a minute and he said, "The Holy Ghost put these words upon his lips." And he said, "Honey, Jesus loves you." And she never did respond. Because I'll tell you, if you're honest tonight, and you've ever heard the gospel story tonight, you know that Jesus loves you tonight. But can I tell you, there's many of us tonight, we hear "I love you" several times a week. Many of you, we get told that by our families, by our spouses, by our children or grandchildren. But there's people out there in the world that don't have that. There's people out there that doesn't know anybody that cares about them. I'll tell you what we need to do, dear loved one, tonight, is we need to let them know that Jesus loves them tonight. And we ought to come down from Calvary and have a reassurance in our heart tonight that Jesus loves us tonight. I never got over that song as a child. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'll tell you, my friend, that's good singing, that's good theology, and that's good to know that Jesus loves us tonight. The Bible said that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But the Bible said that Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it, the Bible said. And so I look at Mary tonight, and as she comes down from Calvary, I see a smile upon her face, and she has tears in her eyes, but a smile in her face, thinking, I'm reassured, He loves me, amen. I'll tell you tonight, you'll just tell yourself tonight, He loves me. I like what David said. David said, He likes me, amen. I'm glad God loves me tonight, and He loves me with an everlasting love that will not let me go. Oh, William Kemper, I wrote that song, A Love That Will Not Let Me Go. William Kemper was going to be a missionary. He was going to get married, and he went to the doctor because he was having problems with his eyes. He went to the doctor, and the doctor examined him and said, Sir, he said, you're going to be totally blind in 6 months. And William Kemper said, Doctor, he said, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm fixing to get married. He said, well, you're going to be totally blind in 6 months. He said, you need to sit down and tell your fiance what I've told you today. And he went home and he got a hold of her, and she come over to his mother's house. They sit down on the couch, and he said, honey, he said, I want you to know I went to the doctor today. And he said, honey, I want to ask you something. He said, do you love me? She said, yes, William. She said, I love you. He said, listen, honey. He said, I went to the doctor today. He said, do you love me enough to go with me all the way to Africa to be a missionary for God? She said, yes, William, I love you. He said, honey, I went to the doctor today. He said, do you love me enough to lead a blind man around the rest of your life? Because the doctor said in 6 months, he said, I'll be totally blind. She was at a loss of words. A lump came in her throat. Tears filled up in her eyes. She sat there for a moment and she said, William, I love you, but I don't love you enough to leave the blind man around the rest of my life. They said their goodbyes and she went out the door. And the story said that he walked over to his mother's piano and he sat down with tears streaming down his face. And he began to write the words to that song. Oh, love that will not let me go. I'm glad, thank God, there's a love that will not let me go. I'm glad, thank God, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that Calvary reassures me that He loves me tonight with an everlasting love. Amen. But the Bible said, standing by Him, that same chapter, Jesus saw His mother and the disciples standing by whom He loved. And He said unto His mother, woman, behold thy son. If Mary left Calvary and took a reassurance in her heart that He loved her, then John left Calvary. You say, what did John take from Calvary? John took a responsibility, because as he's standing there by the cross, Jesus is fixing to go back to heaven. And the Bible said Jesus looks down and he says, John, behold, mother, behold thy son. John, behold thy mother. You know what he just did? He just gave John a work to do. As long as John, as his mother lived, he had a work to do. Can I tell you, there's too many that go to Calvary and they're reassured of the love of Christ, but they leave Calvary without any responsibility. But I want you to know that we need responsibility when we leave Calvary. I don't know how that we can be saved and God love us and do for us what he has done for us, and we never tell anybody about Jesus. We never pass out a track. We talk on cell phones 24/7, but never talk to anybody about Jesus. I never invite anybody to church. That's true of so many in the church world tonight. They've been to Calvary, but they don't have any responsibility. Amen. And I tell you tonight that this is not Brother Eddie's church. Bethel Baptist is not Rick Prophet's church. It's Jesus' church.
Amen.
And can I tell you, my friend, that everybody ought to have something to do.
Amen.
Down at the church house.
Amen.
And I'll tell you how it goes most places. If you got 100 people, about 10 people are doing most of the work. That's the way it is. And can I tell you that a church will never grow, and it'll never take root until it quits being the preacher's ministry and starts being everybody else's ministry. You know what the job of the preacher is. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors, for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? For the work of the ministry. I'm telling you, my friend, the preacher's job is to help people find their place of work. You say, preacher, I can't play the piano. Can you wash dishes? You say, preacher, I can't sing. Can you run a sweeper up and down the floor? You say, preacher, I can't run a sweeper and I can't wash dishes. Can you start a lawnmower and push the yard? I'm telling you, there's work to do down at the house of God. Amen. Amen. I don't know how it is up here, but I know just about every place I've ever been, when you have homecomings, y'all have homecomings up here, don't you? I can look at you by the size of you and tell you do. Amen. Y'all like to eat too, don't you?
Amen.
I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to get a crowd to come tonight when I told them afterwards we're going to the steakhouse. Amen. We've been stopping at McDonald's. And I like McDonald's all right. I think I told you this old fella singing down there where I was preaching the other day. And he got up to sing and he said, I went to McDonald's, he said, before I came to church tonight. And he said, I got a happy meal. And he said, I was happy to get it. Amen. I tell you, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be happy to get the blessings of the Lord. But I've seen them. I've seen them come in. Some of them bring 7-8 dishes. Some of them bring ham, cornbread, biscuits. And then you got them that'll come in with a little bowl you can carry in one hand. Got about 2 spoonfuls of pinto beans or 2 spoonfuls of macaroni and cheese, and they'll eat 5 plates full while they're sitting there. I'm telling you, there's work for everybody to do. I've got one aunt, and you know it's pitiful. You know what I remember about that one aunt? I remember every time we had family reunion, everybody else would bring 7-8 plates full, and she'd come in, she'd always have the same thing, a little package of them Velveeta cheese slices, and then her family would eat 50 plates and then carry them 75 home with them. Amen. What I'm saying tonight is that we need to all share in the work of God and do the work of God. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. I thought it was. They didn't want to hear it, but they heard it anyway. Amen. Responsibility. Responsibility. It's a shame these seats are empty tonight. And it's a shame down at Bethel too on Wednesday night. I've been to a lot of places, I'm sure this preacher has. They said, we want you to come preach for us. We got a big church. And I get over there, I find out what they got's a big building.
Amen.
The building's not the church.
Amen.
And if you want to know your church, they say don't look at Sunday morning crowd to tell what kind of church it is. You got to look at Sunday night or Wednesday night, and there's where you get the strength of your church. Amen. I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Somebody said 7 days without church makes 1 week, and I believe that. I believe we ought to go to the house of God. And you know, people stand up when they join the church. I don't know how they do it here, but they stand up. The preacher says, do you promise to support the church with your tithes and offerings? Do you promise to attend all the services? And they'll look out there at you and grin like a possum and shake their head, yes. And they're not coming back Wednesday night, and they know it when they stand there. God help us.
Amen.
Amen. We make commitments we don't keep. But John had a responsibility, and I guarantee you that John took care of the mother of Jesus until that God called her home. John took real good care of her. I tell you what we need to do. We need to take real good care of what God's left us. Let me say this tonight. I am a preacher, but you need to take real good care of your preacher. God will bless you for that. You need to take real good care of the church. I told somebody today, they said, how's the church going up there where Brother Eddie is? I said, it's going good. I said, I'll say one thing for them. I said, boy, the church is clean. The yard's mowed. The porch is swept off. I said, it's real nice. They take care of the house of God. I tell you, I like a place like that. When I go somewhere and the grass outside the church is knee high, when I go somewhere and the garbage cans are running over and falling out on the floor and the carpet hadn't been swept in a month of Sundays, I know how they're treating God and the things of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. See this Bible right here? I start to go somewhere, and I do this all the time. They call it senior moments. Some people call it Alzheimer's. I don't know what it is, but I heard about a lady that was stopped by a state trooper. It was supposed to be true. And he pulled her over, and he said, lady, he said, do you know? He said, how fast you were going. She said, yes, sir. He said, I clocked you at 80 miles an hour in a 50-mile zone. And he said, unless you got a real good excuse, he said, I'm going to write you a ticket. She said, officer, sir, I do have a good excuse. And he said, I want to hear it. And she said, well, I've got to get somewhere and I need to get there before I forget where it is. Are you like that? That's the way I am sometimes. We got ready to go somewhere, and I laid that Bible on my truck, and I forgot something, and I went back in the house to get it. And I got over to church and got all my stuff in the church, and I began to look for my Bible, and I couldn't find it. I thought, where's that Bible at? And then I remembered going in the house and laying that Bible on my truck. And brother, I tell you, I was just sick all day long. I told the church about it, some of them praying about it, and I was just sick. I lost my Bible. And I got down praying back there in my office. And I said, God, I sure love that Bible. But I said, God, it'd serve me right if you never let me see it again. I said, God, a man won't take no better care of the Word of God than to leave it laying outside the truck and put other things in the truck when the most important thing there is the Word of God. I said, God, I'd understand it if you never let me see it again. Oh, but God, if you'll help me find it, I said, God, I'll try to take better care of it. Can I tell you, I got home and my wife said somebody called, and I called, and it was a black man lives across the road from us, and I called him. I said, Brother Nate, they said I need to call you. He said, did you lose a Bible? I said, glory to God, I did lose a Bible. He said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah. And he said, I've been up all night writing notes out of your Bible. And I'm telling you what,
I'm glad, glory to God, that God let me find it. But what I'm saying is we have some responsibility to take care of some things that God has given us. We ought to take care of some things. Our responsibility down at the house of God. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, don't wait for somebody to tell you either. You see something needs to be done, just do it. Jack Laster was talking about preaching a meeting one time. Y'all pray for Jack. He's real sick, preacher. Jack said he noticed in that meeting that there was in the parking lot a big thing of paper laying in the parking lot. He said he started to pick it up, but he thought, I'll just wait and see how long it is before anybody picks it up. He said that thing laid there all week. People walked right by it, never did pick it up. Oh, listen, I'll tell you, folks, we've lost respect for the place of God.
Amen.
We've lost respect for the house of God. I try to get people to dress right when they come to the house of God. Can I tell you, in this day, it's nearly an impossible task. It'll drive a preacher crazy. But I believe people ought to wear the best they can when they go down to the house of God. I believe you ought to look your best. You say, preach all I got. It's a white t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans. Well, if you got an iron and a starch, get that white shirt white as you can. Starch the sleeves of it. Put a crease down them blue jeans. And when you go to the house of God, I remember where you're going. You're going to God's house. Amen. I'm not going to the beach. I'm not going to a ball field. I'm going to the house of God. And I tell you what, to respect the things of God. Amen. Well, to respect the things of God. Responsibility. Amen. We need to take some from Calvary.
That's right.
If God saved me, I ought to be responsible enough to tell somebody else.
Right.
Somebody said that what salvation is one sinner telling another sinner where he found bread. Amen. One bum telling another bum where he found bread. Just telling somebody about Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian. In fact, the matter, you probably win more to God if you're not a theologian.
Amen. Amen.
Because it was the common people. I've been wanting to preach on that, brother. The common people. It was the common people that heard Jesus gladly. Amen.
That's right.
Some common people that heard the Lord gladly. And some common people this world don't like. Just old time people that just believes God, been saved by the blood, believes in heaven, believes in hell. Just everyday common people that sit down and hear Jesus. But the problem is, in our kind of a day, we're getting less and less common people. Amen. I've told this at different times, preaching different places. Y'all ever go to the mall? Y'all got a mall up here? I want to move up here, praise God. You go down there to the mall. I don't know what it is. It's a God's truth, though. My back cannot hurt me for a year. And I go down there to the mall. When I step in, my back's killing me. Is any of you other men like that? Can I have a witness?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I know it ain't the concrete because I walk on concrete all the time. I don't know what it is. But we went down there, me and Brother Shorty and his wife and my wife, they went off shopping. And we sat down there on a bench like this, and we just sitting there watching people come by. And you can see everything come by in a shopping mall.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been to an airport? That's a shopping mall multiplied 20 times over. If you think you see some stuff in a mall, go to an airport. We're sitting there, and they come by, orange hair, green hair, earrings in their eyes, eye rings in their nose, and painted up and tattooed up and drawn up. And I tell you, just come by and you're just going like this. And we did that for a while. And we both looked at each other and just sat there. And I said, Brother Shorty, I said, it takes all kinds of people to make a world. And he sat there and he said, yes, sir. And I believe they all here. And I believe they all hear. What about you? But they need to know about Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Responsibility. We need to tell people about the Lord. I tell you, it's going to be rough at the judgment seat of Christ. When God has given us these cell phones that we have, God allowed man to invent things and allowed him through his permissive will or whatever, he allowed us to have them. And everybody you see is going down the road like this. Amen. I'm trying to wing myself off of talking while driving. You say, why? I'm not a good driver anyway. You pray for me. I just got another ticket last week. That's two in a year. You pray for me. My little granddaughter said, hey, this guy, what do you call that? A D.O.? What is he? What is he? Oh, D.O.T. man. I don't know what he is. He can write a ticket, though. He pulled me over. We're going on vacation. We hadn't even got out of our county. $193 ticket. Can we take an offering tonight? I'm telling you. He pulled me over. He said, sir, you realize you're just going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. I said, yes, sir. I might have begged for mercy, but didn't give me time. He just went back there and wrote the ticket, come back up and handed it to me, and that's it. We got down there in the mountains, and little Davey climbed up in my lap, and she said, Papa, why did that dot man give you a ticket? I said, well, honey, it wasn't his fault, really. I said, I was going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. It was really my fault. And he was just doing his job, and probably Papa needs to learn to drive better. You say, what is that? That's kind of owning it up, taking responsibility. You see, we don't want to do that. We want to blame everybody else. It's what we want to do. And boy, that's all in the church is infected with that today. Everybody wants to blame everybody else. Amen. No responsibility. But John was willing to take responsibility of somebody else's mother.
Amen.
Amen. John took responsibility. Look at Luke 23. Verse 33. The Bible said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus was crucified between two thieves as a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible said on one hand was a sinner and on the other hand was a sinner. I'm going to call this man a sinner. And the Bible said this one sinner, he could have repented. He could have got right with God. He could have been saved. But the Bible said he never did do that. The Bible said in verse 39 of that same chapter, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You see, he's not worried about Christ. He's not worried about that other thief. He's only worried about himself.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what did he take from Calvary? I'll tell you what he took from Calvary. He took what a whole lot of people's taking today. Amen. And what a whole lot of people's already got in a place called eternal hell. I'll tell you what he took from Calvary. He took regret.
Amen.
Regret.
Amen.
If Mary took reassurance and John took responsibility, this sinner took regret. And I tell you, sir, you may sit here on these pews and listen to Brother Eddie preach and scream and this evangelist here and whoever else God lets come in here and preach and these teachers teach, and you may sit there and you may hear it all and think it's going to be okay. If you're not born again, it's not going to be okay. You don't have a prayer. You're going to hell. You're going to burn forever, sir. And I'll tell you what, you're going to regret it, ma'am, if you die lost and go to hell without Jesus. You're going to regret it all the days of your life. Amen. I was preaching up in Charlestown, Indiana, a couple years ago. And I've been up there all week, staying in a house across at the church I owned. And Bill and Jack, Bill back on the back, Brother Jack that walked in here as the service started. They drove up on Friday to be with me, and I appreciate it so much. And them driving 100 miles just to be in a service with me. And hear me preach and say things they hear me preach and say all the time. But anyway, we started home that night. As we started home, they were in a vehicle and I was in mine and they were following me, and we started to home, and we got there on 65 and there was a big traffic jam. And I picked up my phone and the traffic was moving just at a snail's pace down 65 south. And I seen it was going to take us forever to get home. I'd hoped to get home early. I'd been up there all week and I couldn't wait to get back home and see my family and get my own bed. But it was a snail's pace and I seen it, what it was going to be. And so I picked up my phone and I called Brother Jack and he answered his phone. And I said, Brother Jack, I said, this thing goes on forever. And I said, if we'll get off up here at this Elizabethtown exit, I said, if y'all get off up there, I said, I'll buy your breakfast. He didn't argue with me, Brother Willard. And then we got in there, I don't remember what Bill ordered, but I know what he ordered. He ordered steak. But we sat there and we fellowshipped and had a good time. But while we were sitting there, a group of looked like college kids come in. And they sat down at a table over there. And I wouldn't pay any attention to them. They looked kind of weird, like what I described a minute ago, some of them. But I wouldn't pay any attention to them. We sat there and talked and fellowshipped and eat our meal. As we got ready to leave, I went up to pay for the meal, and they'd done started out of the nearly out the door, maybe I'd been out the door, and it dawned on me, Brother Eddie, I didn't leave a track on that table.
Amen.
And so I went back and got a track and took it over there and I laid it on the table. And as I started out, I got over to the door there at Waffle House, and just as I started out, I heard somebody say, "Oh my goodness, who left this thing? What in the world?" And I looked around because it was so loud. And there he was holding up my track. And I walked over there and I said, "Sir," I said, "I left that track." He said, "Oh, you do." I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Saved." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Do you want to buy my soul?" I said, "Sir, I can't buy your soul. And it don't belong to you to let anybody buy either."
Amen.
He said, "Why, what are you talking about? You mean my soul's not my soul?" I said, "No, the Bible said, all souls are mine, saith the Lord." And he said, "Oh no." He said, "I'm going to hell." He said, "Oh no." He said, "Can I go down to Walmart and buy another soul?" I said, "Son, you don't get souls at Walmart. God makes them."
Amen.
"And God gave
Amen.
Them." And I'll tell you what, while I was talking to him, there was a little girl sitting there and she kept looking up like she was embarrassed and ashamed. And I'd bet you everything in my billfold, if I was a betting man, that little girl had a grandmother, a grandfather, or a mother and father that knew God, and she was out with the wrong crowd, and I could tell by the way she was looking. But I tell you this, I guarantee you, and I pray he don't, but if that guy dies and goes to hell, he will relive to regret what he did there at that Waffle House. He'll take regret with him from Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
Talking about what you take for Calvary. The Bible said in Matthew 27, the Bible said in verse 54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God."
Amen.
Now, if Mary took reassurance, John took responsibility, this sinner took regret, there's a tough, mean centurion Roman soldier there on Calvary.
Amen.
When he went up on Calvary, he didn't think too much about that man that he probably he helped nail to the cross. He didn't think too much about that man he seen coming up the Via Dolorosa and carrying that cross and blood streaming down his back and people spitting on him and mocking him. He didn't think too much about it. But can I tell you, sir, after he stood there and watched him, after he stood there and listened to what he said from the cross, "Father, forgive give them. They don't know what they do. Can I tell you, after he stood there and seen the earthquake, after he stood there and seen the darkness fall over the earth, I'll tell you, there come a point there when he stopped and he looked up and he said, truly, this is the Son of God. I'll tell you, he took a realization. He took a reality that this was the Son of God. I'll tell you what, I don't have one doubt in my mind who the Son of God is.
Amen.
I wouldn't waste 5 seconds reading about Muhammad.
Amen.
I wouldn't waste 5 minutes seeing what Joseph Smith had to say.
Amen.
Because I know who the Son of God is.
Amen.
It is a reality to me. As Paul is going down at Damascus Road, the Bible said there shined about him a light from heaven.
Amen.
And the Bible said he fell down and a voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And I like what he said. He said, I'm Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad I know who the Lord is. He's Amen. Jesus, thank Amen. God. God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was down there a couple of years ago, Kohl's department store. I like Kohl's, good store for preachers. They have cheap suits, cheap shirts. Thank God for McDonald's, that's the preacher's store. They have dollar menus. Thank God. But I went down there and they had these white shirts on sale. I like to wear a white shirt. And they had them real cheap. And I went down there and I got me 5 of them and had them laid there in my little buggy. And I noticed some men there, so I was by, get looking and everything. And this man comes up to me and I knew they was from the Middle East or somewhere, their complexion and everything. And but I thought they were working there for the store. They had a notebook, they were writing stuff down. And one of them come up to me and he had a shirt and a tie. And he said, you like white shirts, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. I like white shirts. He said, I like colored shirts. It was a red one. And he said, I don't know if this looks right my complexion or not. And he held it up. He said, you think this looks all right? I said, it looks all right to me. You know, you got to be careful these days, stuff like that. And then he said, sir, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. And then I looked down and I seen what it was. He had another that notebook, one of them Watchtower magazines. And on the front of it, Brother Eddie, it said on the front of it, do you think the world will ever end? And he said, sir, he said, do you think the world will ever end? He said, it won't. The world won't never end. I said, well, sir, the Bible says
yeah.
that in the last days there'll come scoffers walking after their own lust
yeah.
and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers slept, all things continue as they were, for this are willingly ignorant. But I said, sir, the Bible said, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I said, sir, but the Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come. With a great noise and a fervent heat in the earth, and the elements thereof shall be melted away. And I said, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in a holy and godly conversation?
Amen.
And I looked up and his complexion's not quite as dark as it was.
Yeah.
He moved his finger down to the next line. And he said, sir, you don't believe there's a hell, do you? I said, sir, the Bible said in Luke 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar laid at his gate desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. But it came to pass that the beggar died and the angels came and carried him away unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and being in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment and said, Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. And he said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can you go from them to them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, I have five brothers. Send someone to my father's house, lest they also come in this place to torment.
Amen.
He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.
Amen.
He said, nay. He said, but if one would go unto them from the dead, they'd hear. And he said, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they would be persuaded though one rose from the dead, sir.
Amen.
At that time, there was two of them. One of them's gone now.
Yeah.
But he's standing there. And he moves his finger down one more. It said, do you know what God's name is? I said, sir, the Bible says, that Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. But humbled himself, became obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross. And the God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I said, sir, the Bible said that God's name is Jesus.
Amen.
By that time, he said, I was a Muslim. But he said, now I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I said, sir, the Bible says, if thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, the Muslims
Amen.
And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've made you twofold more
Amen.
A child of hell. But I said, Jesus loves you and he died for you.
Amen.
And I said, he'd love to see you saved, sir,
Amen.
And you're not far away. Keep searching. You'll find him. I said, sir, he be not far from any one of us. If we feel after him, we'll find him.
Right, brother.
I turned around. It's almost like he was raptured. He's gone. I went through all the store looking for both of them. Never did see another one of them. But I'm saying what that fella lacked was the reality.
Amen, brother.
Of who Jesus is.
Right.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
If I don't know anything else, I know who Jesus is.
Amen. Knowing whom I have believed. Amen.
I started home one day on a Sunday from ending a meeting, and I left after Sunday morning. And I was driving home, Brother Eddie, from way up in north. And as I come down the road trying to get home, I kept passing church after church after church after church where people were gathered. And the Holy Ghost said, son, look at there. A man that only lived to be 33 years old. He didn't even own a house or land. He said, foxes have holes, birds there have nests.
Yeah.
I don't even have nowhere to lay my head.
Amen.
He never went to any school or held any degrees. And he's been dead for 2,000 years. And said, look, you can't go 2 miles without a building erected in his name.
Amen.
And songbooks with 600-700 songs about him. And preachers all over the world preaching thousands of sermons about him. You go tell me that's not God's son. I know he's God's son. Amen.
Amen.
The reality of that. Let me get one more. We'll go tonight as the Lord gets done. We talked about them two thieves there in Luke. I call one of them a sinner. But now look down to verse 39. And the Bible said, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other. Let me tell you, the Bible said at one point they were both saying the same thing.
Amen.
In Matthew 27, here's what they were both saying. It said, they passed by, reviled him, wagging their head and saying, thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And notice it, the thieves, plural too, the thieves also which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. But now look, the day is past, the hours are past. The Son of God has been hanging on Calvary's cross. And now there's been a change in that one thief.
Amen. Glory to God.
And somewhere during the course of that day, he's watched Jesus.
Yeah.
Never has he heard a man speak like him.
Amen.
They crucified him. They spit on him. They mocked him. He's hanging there on the cross. And he's worried about his mother. He's hanging there on the cross, and he looks down at the people that just got through nailing him to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do.
Amen, Brother Rick. Amen.
And after 6 hours of that, that other thief has watched him. And I think that he may have looked over. And when he looked over, Jesus looked over. And I think he saw himself in the eyes of Jesus.
Amen.
You ever seen yourself in somebody else's eyes? He remembered when he was a little boy and he'd run through the yard. And he remembered when his mother would put him to bed at night. And he remembered when his life was not full of sin and corruption and evil. And he longed to be like that again.
Amen.
He seen himself in the eyes of Jesus. He knows he's not long for this world, but they say this man's going to another world. They know he'll never rise to fame in Herod's kingdom, but they say this man's got a kingdom.
Amen.
And he says, Lord, Lord. Yes. Jesus says, looks over and he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Amen.
He died. They lifted his body down too at some point, and they probably took it down to Gehenna where they throwed it in the rubbish pile, which was a New Testament type of hell because it never went out. It just burned and all the garbage was thrown on it and all the old people that had nobody to bury him was thrown on it. And they probably took him down there and throwed him. And somebody said he didn't take anything from Calvary. Oh, yes, he did.
Amen, brother.
If Mary took reassurance, and John, if he took responsibility, if this sinner took regret, and the centurion took reality, this sinner that just got saved took a reservation.
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I've walked into motel after driving hundreds of miles to get somewhere to preach. Tired of just wanting to get in and lay down, and I walked into hundreds of places and said, sir, my name's Rick Prophet. Do you have a room? He said, yes, sir. We've been waiting for you. We have a room. It's already paid for. Everything's done. Just go to your room. Well, these days after the long journey.
Glory. Amen. Come on, brother.
I'm going to step in on the other side.
Glory.
Say, my name's Rick Prophet. Do you have a room?
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's going to say, son, you've got a room. Everything's paid for. It's all took care of.
Woo!
Enter into your room and enjoy heaven.
Yeah.
A reservation, thank God.
Hallelujah.
We went to Calvary tonight. Somewhere in them five people was you. And I don't know what you took or have not took. But tonight God, through the Holy Spirit's allowed us to go back 2,000 years and walk again up Calvary's hill.
Amen.
And you need to take something tonight from Calvary.
Amen.
Father, I thank you tonight for Brother Eddie and his church and the good people here. Thank you for the good Holy Spirit. I know Brother Eddie's prayed day and night, and his people has prayed that God would be in this place, and you've honored their prayers, and you've been here. I know they prayed for lost souls, Lord, that have not come, but we continue to pray they will come in the days to follow. But Lord, tonight, in this setting tonight, the people that's here tonight, God, if there's someone needs to come to Calvary afresh, there's plenty there to get. And I pray somebody will take something home with them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would, please. Brother, can you play that CD Marla was singing? You still have that back there. Just play the music of it, if you would. And if you need to come tonight and pray, we want you to come tonight and pray. If you need to come and get saved tonight, we want you to come tonight and get saved. If you need to come to get forgiveness tonight of sin, you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've not been living where I need to with the Lord. That's what revival's for, rededication, renewing up, getting our life back where it needs to be with God. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I belong to this church, but I've not been very responsible, and you spoke to me tonight through the Word of God, I need to come tell God, if He'll help me, I'll be more responsible tonight to Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church. You ought to come tonight. Amen. Let's mind the Lord tonight. Let's mind the Lord tonight. If you need to come, you come tonight. Certainly, if you're lost, you come to Calvary tonight. He was there for sinners. Amen. You just mind God. He'll bless you tonight if you will. Thank you, Lord, tonight for Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for not throwing the clay away on me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, precious God. Glory. How thankful we ought to be tonight, Lord, for Calvary. Oh, God, help us to be responsible. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be reassured tonight of your love. Help us tonight to be reminded that we have a reservation in heaven that's laid up for us. That won't fade away eternal in the heavens, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
No one cares today. I don't know if they do or not today. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that even though they didn't, and even though they don't today, I'm glad you're still with us.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Mind the Lord tonight. If you need to come pray, you come pray tonight. You mind God tonight. He'll bless you for it. You might just need to come and say thank you, Lord, for Calvary. You mind the Lord tonight. Let God touch your heart tonight. Oh, where would we be tonight if it hadn't been for Calvary? We'd be lost and going to an eternal hell. You're here tonight and you're not saved. Young or old, you ought to come tonight and get saved. Get your reservation made. So when you leave this old world and you step on the other side and you say, sir, do you have a room for me? He can say, yes, I have a room. I have a room. Mind the Lord tonight.
Come on up tonight.
God bless you, brothers.
Come on up. I'm going to tell you, I appreciate the message tonight. Listen, don't be just a hearer of it. Come on. Get what he died for. He died for sinners. He died for you. Why don't you come tonight? He said, my son, give me thine heart. Are you holding out on God? I was thinking about this while Brother Rick was preaching. You know, Isaac got spared. God told Abraham to take Isaac up Mount Moriah. And Isaac got spared. God intervened and said, lay not thy hand upon the child. Yet in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says, we did see him smitten of God. Jesus wasn't spared. God laid on him your sins and my sins. He bore the brunt of it. He was smitten of God. He wasn't spared. But I tell you what, if that don't do something for you tonight, there's something wrong with you. How many, buddy, he got the full load. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What I deserve, Jesus took. Amen. You ought to think about that tonight. If you're here lost tonight, I want you to understand what Jesus went through. Just so you could be saved. You're holding out tonight like that one Rick mentioned said he had eternal regret. Eternal. Down in hell tonight, and they are there. He said there wasn't no day down there. They're saying just one more opportunity. I'll repent. I'll receive. There's only one. It's right now. What about it tonight? Won't you come tonight? Won't you come on up and just get saved tonight? I don't know what people wait on. I know one thing. I wish I hadn't waited 34 years. But I am glad I got saved. Amen. I love the Lord tonight. I love you tonight. I'm not no substitute for Jesus. If He can't move you, I sure ain't going to try to supersede Him. I mean that. The Lord can't move you. I love you. I'll tell you right now, He moves me. He moves me even today. Even right now, He moves me. And if He can't move you, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. Like to see you get saved. I'm surprised that people can hold out or resist. I don't know what to say. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight? It's been good to be in God's house tonight. I like to be in God's house from God's home. Man, my bread got buttered tonight. I like the good things of God. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight?
I praise the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
And I want y'all to pray for me. And I may hold out time
for Amen.
To gain that home up in heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it. Praise the Lord for saving my soul. Maybe it ought to be a big long line of people like that tonight. I don't know.
I praise the Lord tonight. I thank Him for the blood. I thank Him for saving my soul. And I thank Him for every blessing that He poured out.
Amen, Sister Molly.
And I'm looking up for Him because I know He's here.
Amen. Amen. He said, I praise Him tonight. Amen. Maybe somebody else needs to praise Him tonight. It's His service. It's His honor.
I thank God for the message and what I've heard.
Bless you, Brother Willard.
Thank God for a man to stand and tell the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
Preach the truth.
Amen.
You know, a lot of places I go, a lot of things have been preached, but the truth. Truth sets
true.
Free.
Sad, but true. He's right.
True.
So may God bless him and his work and bless the church. And I thank God for the opportunity I had to come in this way this week.
Bless you, Brother Willard. It's been an honor to have you, brother.
Thank you.
I tell you, I've enjoyed this revival. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I got revival. I ain't really sure what the Lord's been preaching more, but I'll tell you right now, I'm about like ready to go four different directions right now. I believe I could kick a devil in the mouth right now and preach 15 minutes anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir, it's been good. It's been real good. Every night it's been wonderful. The Lord has visited hearts, and I praise God for this revival effort. And I'll tell you what, buddy, it's been real good for me. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight? Is that a cell phone or perhaps your call or what is that? Is that trumpet? We're getting ready to get out of here? Amen. I tell you what, I am ready. If it comes down to it, y'all sit here and watch. I'll show you how a saved man goes to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
It's been getting me this revival,
isn't it?
Been
left
to death,
filled
with
prayer
here tonight.
Amen, brother.
I appreciate the time so much. You didn't go the fairway.
That's right.
It felt like sometimes it might alter, you know, we see it feels unworthy, you know, but he still keeps us and, you know, don't go his way, you know.
That's right.
Forgive us for stupidity, you know, shortcomings, failure thoughts, you know. Well, heal him, I guess, you know, and he puts up with a lot of yes, but I'm pretty afraid of him. You know, throw him away, but he hang down to us. We're fresh this side.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Melvin. You know, God, He ain't never really had much to work with, but look at what He's done. Amen. 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 What great things the Lord has done. Amen, Sister Sophia. She brought her neighbor with her again tonight, Sister Crystal back there. Been a blessing to have him. Amen. You should have brought your neighbor with you tonight. Sophia, she brought her neighbor with her. Me and Rick both knew a guy. He used to sing a song, Have You Talked to Your Neighbor About God? And Gary Crumpton, he done graduated this life, but what a song. Have You Talked to Your Neighbor About God? And My neighbors, they don't really want me to come over there, but I do talk to them about God. And my neighbors are Amish. They can't really understand. It's kind of like Rick talking about that guy up there at that place in Bowling Green. They can't really understand. They've not been enlightened. But I do talk to them about it. I do talk to them about it, sure enough.
I talked to Christ a long time before she was saved, but I thought she was a Christian because she was such a good woman.
Yeah.
All time I wanted to do something for people in heaven. And one night, Sunday night, she just before I went to bed about 9:30, she called me, and I don't know what she called us. It's so late for her, and she said, I got saved.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like the sound of that. Since you called and said I got saved. Amen. That's the kind of calls I like to get. I got a phone call today and it wasn't quite like that, but I'm still glad to get it. I like them phone calls. I remember my daughter called me. She said, Daddy, I got saved. I remember my daddy called me, son, I got saved. I like them kind of phone calls. Amen. Anybody else tonight? We're done? I ain't going to hold you. Turn you loose if I can. Amen, Brother Jack. Amen. Bless you, Brother Jack. Amen. Amen. I like the sound of that. Thank the Lord what He's going to do in my life. God said in Isaiah chapter 6, who will go? And Isaiah said to them and said, Lord, hear my sin, me. And He said, go. And he took off running, turned back and looked over his shoulder. Said, how long shall I go? And Bible said to God, said, till the city be wasted and the land be without inhabited. I think we still need to be going for God. Amen. We're done?
I guess that's the reason God sent me up here.
Amen, Sister
Chris. Because I never went to church when I was in Florida except for a few times. And when I came to the church, I didn't know what church I was going to. And I came to Kentucky, I started going to church, and I got saved, and I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Chris. Praise the Lord. Amen.
He said, Mother, there's nothing wrong. He knows it scares me.
Yeah.
And he said, there's nothing wrong. I just got saved tonight.
Amen.
And I said, well, I knew. I'd be a long time he was saved.
Yeah.
But I said, I just wanted to say it. He said, now you hear me.
Sir. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that's one in time. Nothing wrong. Something right. Amen. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming. And let me say this. We're going to try to have a baptismal service tomorrow between the morning service and the evening service. And we're going to mention more about that in the morning. But I do want everybody to know we are going to try to have a baptismal service tomorrow. If you got somebody that needs to be baptized, get to me or show up over here or whatever. We're going to go down to Sam Coffee Creek down there, a beautiful place down there. And I know of two people for sure want to get baptized. Let me say also, Sunday night service, instead of being at 5 o'clock, it's going to be at 6:30, just like the rest of the week. We're just going to do that for the sake of somebody might want to come to revival services. The Sunday night service, which actually helps us out with the baptismal service, give us a little more time to do all that. But thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. Appreciate everything. Everybody's been here, been really good, And let me ask Brother Melvin, if he wouldn't mind, please dismiss us. Word of prayer. About what now? About the baptism? I'm going to guess it's probably going to be after the service in the morning. That's not etched in stone, cut and dry, because the people that are going to get baptized aren't here. Depending upon them being able to be there, I'm going to say probably about 12, 1 o'clock, something like that. Something like that. I can't really say for sure because they're not here. But sometime after the service there, about 1 o'clock, something like that. 1 o'clock, something like that. 1 o'clock. Not etched in stone. I mean, it's going to shoot for about 1 o'clock, something like that. Go ahead, brother.